From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 22nd day of April, 2009, Earth Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in a half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain markets with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. We'll also take a more complete look at Earth Day and how it was founded back in 1970. By the way, that was on a Wednesday, too. At least the very first Earth Day was. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And, of course, it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The numbers in Chicago finished like this on a Wednesday afternoon. In the wheat pit, soft red gained 7.25 today to settle at $5.16¾. July, the harvest month, at 5.28, up 7.25, and September at 5.55¼ for the soft red winter wheat, 7.75 higher. Kansas City, July hard red at 5.78½, settled 6¼ higher. Back in Chicago, May corn futures finished 0.5 cent lower at $3.73½ a bushel. July futures 382½, the settlement price 0.5 lower there as well. And September futures at 392¼, down 1¼. December futures $4.03¼, down 0.25 for December. Corn futures and the March contract at $4.15¼, down 1¼. March oat futures, rather May oat futures at $1.82¼, down 2 cents. And July there, two lower at $1.91. Soy complex, May beans, $10.46, up 8 cents. July at $10.39, up 6. August at $10.15, 2 cents higher. September soybeans at $9.67½, down 3½. And November beans at $9.24, down 7 cents on the afternoon. January 2010 contract at $9.29. down 8 cents. May bean meal at $3.29.80, up $4.50. May bean oil down 4 cents at $36.09. Mercantile exchange numbers finishing the day like this. April live cattle at $87.57½, down 40 cents. April feeders at $99.57½, up 7½. And the May lean hogs at $70.65. finished the day 42½ cents lower. The June futures there down 2½ at 72.37½. From the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures finished the crude oil at $48.85 in the June contract, a settlement price up 30 cents a barrel. July at $50.70, 9 cents higher. May ethanol, $1.54¼, down 0.1 cent. Natural gas futures are down 1 cent, rather. Natural gas futures at $3.53⁄6, 2½ higher. May RBOB gasoline at $1.38⁷, 2¼ lower. And the heating oil, it's diesel fuel, down 1¼¢ at $1.32¹. May propane futures, 63½¢. The settlement price, just about 0.3¢ higher. Gold futures at $891.80, up $9.70 at this hour. The Dow at 8,033, just about 64 points. And the U.S. dollar is down 0.29 at 86.18 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 218.63 is up 0.32 for the afternoon.
Its members make great radio possible. Our thanks to everyone who contributed during our spring pledge drive. The official total for the campaign is $152,930.
Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. Tonight should be mostly clear across Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from 32 in the northern part of Indiana to 50 in the western part of Illinois. And tomorrow should be mostly sunny. Highs will range from 65 near Lake Michigan to 78 in the southern parts of Illinois. The extended forecast says most locations in Illinois and Indiana will remain dry through the weekend, although northwestern Illinois will see some showers and thunderstorms. Those will arrive late on Saturday and continue through Monday before the rain shifts across the rest of the two-state area on Monday and Tuesday.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Wednesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets, as he always is. Paul Cooley is with us today. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good to speak with you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this sunny but soggy field day on this Wednesday afternoon.
You know, farmers anxious to get in the field there in your area, and how soon do they think that'll happen?
Well, it was a standing, almost standing room only in the commodity office as the marketing bell opened at 9:30. I think it's several days, and of course the problem is that we're going to see these cool temperatures. That's A, and B, another rainfall event on probably Sunday. My private meteorologist was talking about a third to three-quarters of an inch, and then next Thursday, Friday, 1 to 3 inches, and then there's something on out after that on May the 5th. So it is a wet forecast, and my general impression here is that I don't think there'll be any corn planted here till May anyway.
Well, you know, I have a question about this because it seems the trade's not going to get too worried about it simply because there was an awfully big crop under similar conditions last year. But I would think that farmers, given that they know full well that the second and third weeks of April are probably their prime planting spots for corn now, that according to the data even, that they would begin to get really pretty worried about the lower prices that they're seeing in the marketplace and their ability to actually bring in a profit at the end of the harvest season, even with a pretty decent crop.
Yeah. My general impression is, and when we sit down on a one-to-one basis or on a phone call conversation, we need to take and worry about the old crop corn, and it takes basically $4 to make a good return on the old crop corn for last year. And we need at least probably $4.50 on the new crop corn based on the December futures to make it work. And there's been some innovative twists and turns and encouraging of marketing on the old crop corn, but there's still a lot of old crop corn that needs to move through. There's still a lot of time to market the old crop corn, and as long as the quality's there, the basis is acting good. But the marketplace is definitely suffering from these extreme dull moves, and when we examine some of the issues, we find that, you know, the livestock industry, the ethanol, and the exporters aren't as healthy financially as they were a year ago or 2 years ago. And as a result of that, I'm sure they're subject, from their banker's point of view and the financial money flow, of just buying inventory for 10 days to 2 weeks. And as a result of that, the good old days of buying the dips on the, you know, buying dips and when everybody's selling isn't really as pronounced as it has been. And so some of us, see these dips in here and don't see the buying, and we wonder really if there's other, problems in the economy. But the stock market seems to be stabilizing above 8,000. We're seeing crude oil, you know, with large inventories stabilizing, close to the $50 a barrel mark. But the big problem here is that we do need to see an acreage shortfall, and I think the market's anticipating it, maybe 1.5 to 2 million acres. And we're not going to go see the market completely fall out of bed, but it's going to take a while before we do see something close to that $4 a bushel mark.
Enough on the corn. Let's try soybeans and see where you stand on that issue. They've had a pretty good run.
Well, the soybean market is the dynamo, and we're seeing not only a yield drop in Brazil, but also Argentina.
Right.
Some informed sources say 15 million tons under a year ago. Dr. Cordier, the renowned crop forecaster, saying 36.5 million acres in or million tons in Argentina, 55.5 in Brazil. and the Chinese demand is tremendous. And at some point in time, all indicators indicate that that price of old crop beans are going to go higher. And with this wet weather and the general feeling where our acreage will grow some, you know, new crop beans above $9 looks like it's a marketable opportunity for the farmer. Now, the problem is, and we are seeing this groundswell of people basically opening up accounts where, you know, the margin calls go to their bankers to meet the margin calls because the wide basis levels we're seeing in the country at the country elevator level and the processing market. So there is a shift that we're seeing of people actually taking some of that risk, particularly in corn, and doing their own hedging.
Can I have you maybe talk about one more issue? And I don't know whether you'll have much to say on the health of the fertilizer industry in the state of Illinois, the state of Iowa. Those smaller fertilizer, local fertilizer dealers have been waiting with piled up nitrogen supplies, I suppose. I did make note that in Iowa, the corn farmers there, while they started the year out, this spring out, behind, they are actually now well ahead of schedule for their fertilizer application. So the nitrogen must be going on, at least in Iowa. Will that happen here in Illinois?
Yeah, the prices south were... they didn't really buy or pre-buy and had zero inventories, you know, help bring prices from, you know, Route 16 north down. And, you know, and I'm sure they're trading supply and lowering the price and doing a lot of innovative things. My general impression is that we still feel that there is more soybeans going to be planted. Yes, the fertilizer industry did take a whipping, but that's about all I understand about it. Okay. It's an industry that grains are my business, my only business, and I'm glad that I'm not caught in that area.
All right. Well, thank you for stepping out there with me, and we'll talk with you again in a week, okay?
Have a profitable day.
You too. Thanks much. That's Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services. He's out of Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, if you haven't heard yet, thanks much to all those who managed to give just a little bit to this program and the Closing Mark Report for the flagship station here in Urbana-Champaign. We raised a bit over $150,000 over that period from Thursday to Monday of last week, and Dave Dickey and I surely do appreciate that. In fact, he's here right now. He'll help us take us through the ag news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk says that President Barack Obama will not need to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, despite promises to strengthen the labor and environmental provisions in the agreement. Kirk says that Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. should be able to find other ways to strengthen the agreement. Kirk says that he also plans to immediately start reviewing U.S. free trade agreements with Colombia and Panama to resolve issues outstanding before they are submitted to Congress for approval. Key U.S. lawmakers yesterday said there is still broad support in Congress to make significant changes in the way the government oversees food safety, but little consensus on how to go about making improvements. Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member Saxby Chambliss says a food safety overhaul is needed. Chambliss stressed that the Food and Drug Administration is underfunded and does not have the resources it needs. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson agreed with Chambliss's assessment. Peterson says Congress needs to either combine the food safety divisions of USDA and FDA or leave them separate and make dramatic improvements to the FDA. Analysts at the Brazil consulting firm Datagro says that the amount of ethanol that can be imported duty-free into the U.S. from Caribbean nations will jump 30% this year. Much of the duty-free imported ethanol will originate in Brazil, shipped to a country that is a member of the Caribbean Basin Initiative for further processing, and then sent to U.S. ports. The two-step process allows ethanol producers in Brazil to avoid the 54-cent per gallon tariff they otherwise would have to pay. Germany's research minister on Tuesday called for a meeting to debate the future of crops containing genetically modified organisms, following another minister's decision this month to ban GMO maize cultivation. Research Minister Annette Chavan said in a statement a debate was needed about the fundamental values of GMO crops, illustrating continued disagreement about the ban inside Germany's ruling Grand Conservative Social Democratic Government Coalition. Meanwhile, Monsanto today announced it has filed suit against the German government's decision to ban genetically modified maize. The German government banned the cultivation and sale of GMO maize despite European Union rulings that the biotech grain is safe. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It's Earth Day. You know, each April 22nd, since Wednesday, the 22nd day of April, 1970, has been Earth Day right here in the United States and around much of the globe, although the United Nations designates the equinox in March as its official Earth Day. U.S. Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson is considered the founder of Earth Day. He called for it in 1969, as concern over global cooling, that's right, global cooling was mounting along with population explosion and fear the world would run out of food. Now, we don't often think of Earth Day in those terms, so let's do that now. This week, B.B. Singh is here on campus. He's from India and one of the first graduates of Patnagar University. That was established in the 1960s with the help of the U of I. I was there a couple of years ago trying to help reestablish a connection with what is heralded as the birthplace of the Green Revolution. That's Patnagar University. I'm still hopeful that can come to be. Singh, who also went to school here, is now retired and works part of the year at Texas A&M with the father of the Green Revolution, Norman Borlaug. I watched Singh give a presentation yesterday on the history of the Green Revolution and why Africa has not participated and suffered because of it. It was phenomenal, and tomorrow morning my colleague in the Ag College, Steve Parker, and I will videotape that presentation. I'll make it available to you very, very soon. In it, Singh argues two things, that seed and fertilizer and population control have managed to allow the earth to sustain the growth of the human population. Africa did not follow this route, and its people regularly starve because of it. Singh's been working with the cowpea, what we call black-eyed peas, to fix that problem. Now, farmers of the world, with the exception of those in Africa, produce enough food today to feed us in just about the same way they did prior to the Green Revolution. If they're doing their job right, they add just enough fertilizer to keep the soils healthy and highly productive. The organic food folks can argue here, but I don't think we can find enough animals to spread that much manure around. Oh, by the way, Singh argues that that's how the organic movement started. The concentration of animals in Europe was causing a pollution problem until farmers started using the manure in force and realized they could sell organically grown produce at a higher profit margin if it was marketed that way. Speaking of which, my father was in last week. We had in our home dark chocolate covered roasted soybeans. You can buy them at almost any store. They're marketed under the South Beach brand by Kraft. He was amazed, and you should be too, on this Earth Day. Now, since 1970, farmers around the planet have tried pretty hard to maintain their soils. Why? Well, because once they're lost, they cannot be replaced. The men and women on the land know that. We grew up knowing that. And that every day is Earth Day on the farm.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us from the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, that belongs to the Andersons, is Matt Blaisdell. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about conditions in your area for planting first.
We had some guys who tried it Easter weekend. I guess it would probably more accurate would be the Saturday. Talked to some guys, and everybody I talked to, it sounds like less than 500 acres total of corn got planted. So really, the masses weren't out. Pretty much rained out all this week. Same guys who went last week, who are big enough who they probably need to start thinking about it, are going to go again this weekend if we get these 8-degree temperatures. But it looks like we're into next week until we really see everybody go. And it looks like the forecast is not maybe working with us, bringing rain in next week. So
does that lack of movement have much of an impact on basis in your area, or farmers just waiting patiently and not really doing much else in terms of moving grain?
It's waiting patiently. It probably doesn't affect nearby bases. Where probably we'll start seeing some pressure on that May and June basis as if we keep pushing this planting back. You know, do we see that movement, especially for the guy who or the processor who doesn't have quite the book on, who might need bushels first week of June? Will we start to see maybe a split bid there? Haven't yet, but I start to bet that we will see a premium for first half of June versus the last half.
And any impact on soybean?
Soybean basis, actually, more than anything, is cash. The cash mark has really helped this bean out.
Right.
Actually, I think basis maybe on the way south. We're seeing some guys, the process around here, of talk about when do we see them move over to Novi Futures, trying to buy beans at cheaper values. Haven't yet to see anybody, but we know the processor does want to. One in particular, they just don't know if the competition will follow, so they're a little reluctant to do that so far, but we'll probably start to see that happening.
Any guesses as to when they'll roll?
Sounds like mid-May is when we're hearing that a lot of them are looking if they can get it by with it going to the Novies.
All right, and your bids for the day?
Bids, Climbers Corn, $3.70. Delphi Beans, $10.39.
All right, thanks much.
Thank you.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons Climbers Delphi facility, and he joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Matt had to say or anything from this program or some of our other ag programming, you can always visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Listen to it directly from the website as an MP3 file. Sign up to have it delivered as a podcast to you. Pick up our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page. Or if you can't do all of those, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We update it with the numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Jelly Bean Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1763, Jared Elliott died. Elliott was an American colonial clergyman and agronomist who wrote Essays upon Field Husbandry, a tome about reducing inefficiency and waste in colonial farming methods. He also invented a drill which would open a furrow, plant seed, and drop manure in a single operation. In 1778, James Hargreaves died. He was the English inventor of the spinning jenny, the first practical application of multiple spinning of raw cotton by a machine. In 1832, Julius Sterling Morton was born. He was the founder of Arbor Day, first observed in Nebraska on April 10, 1872. In 1889, the U.S. opened Oklahoma to homesteaders, and the Oklahoma land rush officially began at 12 o'clock noon. In 1913, Thomas Wright of New Jersey patented a method to load ice onto refrigerator railroad cars. In 1945, Robert Elmer Horton died. Horton was an American hydraulic engineer whose studies on rainfall drainage established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion and soil conservation. 1 month before he died, Horton published a 95-page landmark paper that summarized 2 decades of study on rainfall drainage. And in 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated, and that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Hey, Drew, beautiful day here in the Midwest. Tell me, we've got more on the way.
Well, I'd like to, and yes, we will for a day or two, but then the bottom kind of falls out of the barrel, and we end up getting another gully washer across part of the Midwest. Right now, the models, the midday models came out today and basically reinforced the general theme of things as far as shifting from a warm and dry bias here for the next couple of days to a wet and cooler one for a little while next week. And so the next 2 or 3 days is probably going to be the best opportunity for getting some aggressive field work accomplished in those areas that are draining out fairly well and firming up. The temperatures will certainly be soaring into the upper 70s and some 80s across the region these next 2 or 3 days. It's going to be just absolutely delightful as far as farming is concerned in those areas that are firming up. But we do turn around the other way. The heavier rains that come on will occur initially as we go into the end of this work week, going into the weekend in the western Corn Belt. The eastern parts of the Midwest are probably going to be a little slow getting involved with the rain, so places like Ohio and Indiana and Kentucky will probably have a chance to see some field work continuing into the first part of next week before rains finally show up. And the midday models today actually reduced some of the rain potentials for the eastern part of the country during the early to middle part of next week. I think some of the rain was taken out excessively. In other words, it's a little too dry in the pure model data. But the bottom line is it will turn a little bit drier after this period of rain at the end of next week, and some additional field work will take place, except for in those areas that end up with 1 to 3 inch plus rains, which will probably be from parts of Kansas into Wisconsin and western Michigan.
So soil temperatures will jump, we'll have some drying out, and we'll probably get the planters in the field for a few days. That's very good news as we're in the, I guess, what we would call the heart of the planting season at this point, though there's not much moving across a good portion of the Corn Belt. If you look around the rest of the planet, is anybody else suffering in sort of the same ways?
No, actually, I think everybody else in the world is doing relatively well right now. We are watching the western part of the former Soviet Union. They are going through a 10-day to 2-week period of dry weather, or will be. They're already firming up a little bit right now, and so as we move forward in time, that region may get a little bit on the dry side. But for right now, this moment in time, that drier bias is absolutely perfect for spring planting. So we're not going to worry about it much at this point. Keep a close eye on the U.S., though. The planting progress here, of course, is most important. And our wheat crop that was damaged so in the plains is going to see an additional opportunity for improvement with the mix of weather that's coming up, both warm and cool, and also the abundance of rain.
Anything else from the agricultural meteorological side that you wanted to make sure we heard about today?
Well, the only other thing would be that we're going to see some timely rain showing up down in portions of Australia's wheat, barley, and canola production region. Those areas will probably see a better environment for starting their autumn planting. And if all goes well, they should have a pretty successful planting season, it looks like. The only other thing that's going on is that there's more evidence that we may be headed towards El Nino, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about that right now, but the implications of that would be that perhaps India's monsoon this summer might run out of fuel somewhere late in the season.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.